always read our Rosh Kodesh scriptures about where the Father tells us to meet at this time. So
I'll read just one today. It'll be out of 1 Chronicles 23:30-31. They are to stand every morning to thank and to praise Yahweh, and likewise at evening, and to offer all burnt offerings to Yahweh on the Sabbaths, the Rosh Kodeshes, which is probably not how you say it, Rosh Chodesh, and fixed festivals, and the number set by the ordinance concerning them continually before Yahweh.
Amen. Amen. So let's go to Exodus 12. I'm going to read verse 1 and 2. As we always do here on the head of the month, this is, you know, we have a word for us for this whole month, and naturally it started for us last night and to today. So we'll celebrate this time, and naturally Pesach, Passover, is coming up soon. We only got it, you know, so we have, what, 14 days? So anyway, just wanted to read something, and we were praying earlier. I believe this. The Father knows us. The Father is proactive in our lives, and we go through stuff in our lives. A lot of times when we go through things, a lot of times it's self-inflicted. We do things that's wrong. We don't do what's right, and the next thing you know, we may come under judgment, partial judgment, whatever happens, and then we go through repentance, and He is so grateful. And we always talk about, you know, He's a Heavenly Father that's a Father of second chances and 99 chances and 1,000 chances. And He's there and He's faithful till we get it right. And I am so thankful that He's that way, because that's just what these seasons are about. You know, we talk about our Heavenly Father being cyclical. The way we were taught in school is through a Greek mindset, which is linear. Everything is, you learn this, and you learn a little of this. This is a foundation for next year where you're going to learn this, and it's a building block. But a lot of times, once you get to a certain spot, you've forgotten. And I'm going to say it like this. Whenever we're in school, whether you're in high school or college or whatever, if you ever remember the first test that you had of that semester, that first exam, usually on the final exam, you're going to see some of the questions that happen in that first one, and you're like, what was on that one? I'm so far down that I don't even remember what we talked about. Well, that's because we were taught to be linear. We study, we learn, and we do, and then we move on to the next. Yahweh's not like that. He operates in cycles. It's just like the year goes, and guess what? We may be a year older, but we should be a year better. Amen. We should be a year wiser, but we come, and He teaches us during these feasts and festivals. Every year He brings something out in us. He just sort of, like I said, we're like an onion. We peel a layer off of the time until He gets to the core. And that's what He's really looking at, is for our heart. What's down here? So He's got to get through a lot of stuff in our lives. A lot of the children here, I just love our children. They're raised in this. They usually, hopefully and prayerfully, they won't have the baggage that I had. You know what I'm saying? And going through all of that. So this is a time for renewal. And so I just want to read a couple of scriptures here, and then I'm going to ask some questions. Yahweh said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, because they were in the land of Egypt. The Passover has not taken place yet, but He's telling them this. This month shall be for you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. So He's setting the stage. This is a time of renewal. The children of Israel has been in bondage for however many years that they've been in bondage. 400 years, whatever the bondage happens to be. 490, whatever, 200, there's different. They've been in bondage for years. And you know what? Pharaoh, to Israel, Pharaoh was their god. All the gods of Egypt and Pharaoh was their god. And now all of a sudden, they've been crying, and there was a prophecy about a deliverer who was going to come. Now a deliverer comes, and his name is Moshe, Moses. He comes. Now things is fixing to change. And this is the hard part, and this is one thing that we learn in this process is this. Israel is fixing to be delivered. They're fixing to have redemption and freedom. But guess what? Being delivered and walking as free people when you have a mindset of slavery is not easy. And that's something that Rachel mentioned about these children in our treasure chest. A lot of these children here, they don't have parents. They're homeless. And you know what? If abuse happens to someone, that's hard to erase that memory. Now, the father can erase it, but it's a process. It's a process to where the father, he can do and bring a healing that can take place to where a child, you see what I'm saying? And this is why a renewal is so important in our life. Yeshua, he died on the cross for us. He died on that torture stake. On the third day, he was raised up. And so our faith, he was the sacrifice. And we talked about this. Yeshua is the lamb, but he has to be your lamb. He has to be my lamb. He can't be just the lamb, because he is the lamb, but he has to be mine for me to enter into a covenant relationship. This is all about renewal. And every year, even though we've been a believer for a long time, I can almost tell you that most people in here has not gone from last Passover to this Passover without maybe sinning at least once. Okay? So it shows us that we are a work in progress, and he's going to continue to do this. Hopefully and prayerfully, what happens is as we get older, you know, one time a long time ago, I had this little baby, and he was in a diaper, and I had a man 60 years old, and his head was on there. It's photoshopped. And I said, you know, sooner or later, we need to grow up. Amen? We need to grow up, and we need to be. So our head and our body should look alike. But a lot of times we as believers, our head seems to grow older, but our body seems to stay the same. We're always in diapers, spiritual diapers. We need to grow up as believers. Amen? So with that, I wrote down a couple of things, because I think this is, well, I know this is very important. Who was the Torah given to? All right, it was given to Israel. All right, because we're talking about in the time of Sinai. Israel is going to come out of Egypt, and they're going to go to Sinai. Moses is going to go up on the mountain, and he's going to give them 10 commandments or 10 words. And he is making a covenant with a people, and that people is Israel. Okay? Keep focus with this. Now, here's another question. Why is Israel so important in the Scriptures? The reason why Israel is so important in the Scriptures is because Yahweh made a covenant with a man, and his name was Abraham. And when he made a covenant with Abraham, he made it with his seed, and his seeds all the way down to Galatians, when Paul talks about, to Yeshua, who is the seed. Not plural, but the seed. Everything was from Abraham. He made a covenant with him, Isaac, Jacob, all the way through the generations. And he made a covenant with Israel. They became a nation. But it also said this, and this is our hope, and it says, and in that covenant, the nations will be blessed. Okay, so we're in covenant. That's what Paul was talking about in Romans 11, that we've been grafted in. Whether you're a natural branch of that olive or you are a wild olive shoot, both were cut off. Well, one was cut off, but we all have to be grafted into the same tree. Amen? So this is why it's important that we understand that Israel in the Scriptures, of why it's important, is because Yahweh placed it that way. Now here's another thing. Why is the land of Israel and its location so important? The reason why the land and its location is so important is because of these times and seasons that we have. I was asking Eddie back there a while ago and Levi just to make sure. Latitude-wise, we're like 1 degree different than Jerusalem. Lucedale, Mississippi. Latitude-wise, where Jerusalem is in Israel, you go across latitude. Like they're like 31 something, and we're like 30 point something. I mean, we're close. So our times and seasons are almost identical. Because when is spring to us? What months? Usually March and April is usually our spring. Fall is usually September, October, August, September, however. But I got to thinking about something. South Africa, when is their spring? Totally opposite. The spring in South Africa is going to be in August, September. And so I'm sitting here thinking, if I was down there reading this word, I can connect with what's going on in the scriptures. But boy, if I was on the other end of the hemisphere, I would be backwards. Because here we are celebrating the spring feast when? In the fall in South Africa. It's totally different. You know, because we have our little congregation in Kenya, River Life in Kenya, you know, and they're heading into winter. We're fixing to head into summer. Totally flipped. So this is why it's so important that Israel and the land is, because that's what dictates times and seasons. You see what I'm saying? Because if not, we're going to be celebrating Pesach, and South Africa's going to be celebrating what? Sukkot. And so we would be, as the nations are being grafted, that's why it's so important that we realize. I never really thought about it that much before because of where we live. Usually whenever the wheat is coming to a head in Israel, the wheat's coming to a head here. It's really unique because I've been watching everything happen in the natural, but I just thought about it the other day when I was doing this about a time of renewal, just saying, man, how odd would that be to sit here and have my mind saying, okay, here we are in the spring, this is a spring feast, and I'm sitting here in the fall trying to do a spring thing. So it is about a renewal. Brad Scott teaches us about, in Genesis, he says this, it's about a house, a land, and a people. That's the way the Father uses it. That's what he created in the beginning. He created people. He created a couple. Created a man, and then out of him, he had a couple. He had a house, and he had a land. And all of the scriptures, when you read the scriptures, if we don't try to over-spiritualize everything, everything's really pretty simple. He does agriculture. He does everything the way the Torah is written out for us to understand. Seed time and harvest, all of these things are very important. So my thing about this time of renewal, let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Y'all know this scripture. I just wished I had. I mean, I've read about transformation. The word transformed in the Greek here is metamorpho, means transfigured. I just wish I could see it. You know what I mean? I'm a sight guy. You can tell me something and you almost got to show me. I'm almost like a show me guy. And I'd really like to see how this transfiguration works, because that's what happens to us. I know it by faith, but you know, because we've been talking about this butterfly situation. But to have a caterpillar to go up and then stick his step to a vine or to a limb or whatever, to have that attachment he has, and then he's hanging upside down. You ought to go on Google or YouTube or something, one of them tubes, and figure out. I'm not techie, so I don't know all the tubes or the Twitters or the tweakers and all of that stuff. So anyway, she'll help you out, or Eddie. But if you had that, I watched it, and I'm sitting here, and then here's this little caterpillar attaches himself to this little vine. And then somehow or another, he's creating a shield from his head all the way up to his derriere. And then it covers everything, and then he's in there. And then all of a sudden, after a period of time, after this metamorphosis happens, and like Tammy says, you can't help with a cocoon. You can't have a great heart. Now, this will preach, guys. If you can't enable people. If you enable people in their lives, you're going to abort a situation. The thing about this butterfly is the butterfly, as it's struggling to get out of that cocoon. It's struggling to get out of that cocoon. And I can tell you, you can have a say, poor little thing, let me help. It don't need your help. Because if we help it too soon, then it can't survive. So what it's doing is that butterfly is working and struggling and pushing against that cocoon to bust it open. It's strengthening its wings. It's strengthening its body. So finally, when it gets out in the elements, it can do what it does. It can fly and it can start its life. But I just so wish that they could, and maybe they've done it, I just never seen it, put a little camera inside of one of them little dudes and see what happens. Because I'm going to tell you, the way that butterfly comes out and the way he went in ain't the same. And the Father, I believe, in creation gave us this picture to know that that's us. We come from a sinful nature and we go to a beautiful nature. We can go to a redeemed nature, and there is a metamorphosis. It changes. But we have something to do. There is a struggle that happens in the cocoon. There's a struggle in our life that happens, and that struggle is not to because he doesn't like you. That struggle is there to make you strong. That struggle is there to build your character, to know what you're doing and who you are and how you're going to make it. Because the thing about it is, you know, like we always said, what does it, how do we say this? What doesn't kill you make you strong? You know, I had that picture up there that time. There was a little rat in a mouse trap, remember? And that little, you know how you have that little rat trap and you have that little wire deal and you pin it over? And I said, what didn't kill you make you strong? And that little rat, he was doing push-ups on. I mean, he was doing like a bench press. He had that little wire doing it like that. He said, I'll show y'all, you know. But the thing about it is, it's how you look at it is what I'm saying. So in this life, I've accepted Yeshua as my Lord and Savior when I was 13 years old. Have I had struggles since then? Absolutely I have. But I understand that the struggles that I've had, most of them I created. Amen, Tammy. Most of them I created. They're self-inflicted wounds because I made wrong decisions. I stepped outside of this word. And whether accidentally or whether I did it on purpose. You know, peer pressure, whatever you want to call, whatever excuse we want to make, and all of the above. The thing about it is, though, I could repent. And the thing is he forgave. And that is beyond the biggest miracle of how he puts up with his people. But that's the depth of his love that he has for us. That if we're sincere, I don't mean just sit here and say, I'm just going to do all these wrong things because he's going to forgive me. No, one of these days that ain't going to work. Amen? But it has to be, this is a time and season where it is about renewal, where we really need to be focused on our lives and where we are in this. So let me read the scripture. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of Elohim, to present your bodies as living and holy sacrifices, acceptable to Elohim, which is your spiritual service of worship. That's what we're to do. Our bodies are no longer, when we accept Yeshua, our bodies are no longer our own. We are to be able to hold them in a worship service to him. We are here on Shabbat. Why are we here on Shabbat? Because it was a good idea? No, because he said to. It's simply, obedience is the highest form of worship. But here's the thing. It's up to us, starting on first day, to prepare for this day. If we're not prepared for this day, all we're going to do is bring our junk in here on the seventh day. And the thing is that's not honoring our King. He gives us 6 days to work out our problems. And then on this day, we need to leave all of that behind, and we need to come in here because this is his day. This is a day that I pour out to him, and I'm praising and I'm thanking him that I didn't die in the first 6 days. Amen, that I'm able to get through these struggles in my life. I know BJ and them, they're building a house, and so he can probably testify. Doug and them just finished theirs, so they're hallelujahing, and he's like, oh, man, because he's in the middle of doing it. But here's the thing. But there's a lot of things that happens in the building of a new home and when you're doing that. There's a lot of things that happen that can sidetrack you, but you know what? He gives you the grace to be able to do what you need to do. That's what Paul said. I want to get rid of this spirit, this buffet in me. No, I give you the grace to get through it. So whatever happens in us, every week I seem to have one or two little things that helps me get through the week that I have to fight through. But that's making us strong. And you know what he's doing? He's just saying, knock, knock, knock on wood, on my hard head. I'm still here. I'm part of this. Why don't you ask me? That's part of this. Amen? So he's telling us here in verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, that word renewing is a complete change. Our hearts when we accept Yeshua as our Savior, has been changed. It's been transformed. Our minds were the problems at. Right between the ears. What happens is we have physical, we have eye gate, we have sensors. Touch, hearing, seeing, smelling. We have these sensors that we have. What are we letting go in our gates? Our heart is in here. The throne room is within us. Whatever gets to the throne room has got to come through one of these senses, through the mind, and then down there. The thing about it is this is what Paul is saying, is just because we've had a heart change, our mind, we have to change that. We have something to do. That's part of being in that cocoon, in that struggle. We have to read His Word. We have to study His Word. We need to pray. We need to do the things we need to do to help us succeed spiritually. And if you do that, then you will succeed physically. But if we have a heart change and we still do the things of the old nature, guess what's going to happen? Absolutely nothing is going to change in your life. The same struggles, the same curses, the same things are going to continue to happen in your life if you can't and if I can't. Her dad used to tell us this is where the battlefield's at. The battlefield is not your flesh. The battlefield is your mind. Because I can tell you this. If you ever notice, he would say that when we eat, then you be thankful. After you have eaten and you're satisfied, then you bless Him. Why is that? Because I can tell you, I don't know why we're this way, we miss one meal and we're starving to death. Why do we put that word death in there? You ain't going to die. You know, I'm starving to death. But it's an emphasis. It's an emphasis because but really and truly, your mind thinks like, man, I ain't going to make it. I'm just starving. I ain't going to make it. You see what happens with us? That's why the renewing of the mind has to be that way. And by that, the renewing of your mind, we get to thinking the way He does so that we may prove what His will is. That's how you understand what His will is. All right, let's go to Titus chapter 3. Verse 3, I'm going to start there. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts, pleasures, spending our life in malice, envy, hateful, hating one another. In other words, our life was one that was in Egypt. But we've been delivered from Egypt. Amen. But when the kindness of Elohim, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, He delivered us, not on the basis of deeds. There's nothing you can do for this transformation to take place except what He has done for us, which we have done in righteousness. But according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration, and that word regeneration is spiritual rebirth or a recreation. There goes from that worm to that butterfly. That is a metamorphosis change that happens in our life. That's what this means. And renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Yeshua, Messiah, our Savior. So He's telling us by accepting that sacrifice, we have this spiritual rebirth. This is the time of renewal. Verse 7 says this, so that being justified, you know what justified is? Guys, because of the act that Yeshua did, we are rendered righteous. That's what that means. We are rendered righteous by what He did. That's the beauty of this transformation it takes. He did definitely do it all, and we can accept that. But we get to a place in our life, well, let me finish reading. Being justified or rendered righteous by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So we're heirs to the world to come. Let's go to Colossians 3, and I'll finish up with this one here on my portion. Colossians 3, 9, 10, and 11, it says this, do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. See, it says, since you have laid aside. You know what? We have to lay that old self aside. The problem is, most of us don't bury that old self. What we do, we just leave him laying in the bed and cover him up with a sheet. Because most of the time, Roy, what do? We pick that old self resurrects every now and then. But he's telling us that we need to bury that old self. We need to lay that old self aside with its evil practices and have put on a new self who is being renewed to the knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Now, this is the NASB that I'm reading out of. Verse 11 says this. It says a renewal, and that's italicized, so it's not in most scriptures, but it says a renewal. And the reason why I wanted to read this, because the whole thing above it in context is talking about putting away an old self and putting on a new self and being renewed. That means old state to a new state. This word renewed in verse 10 has the connotation to this. This word is a different Greek word, and it means grow into. This word renewed means to grow into. That's like renewing your mind. We're growing into the image of Messiah. Because I can tell you that whenever I accepted Yeshua as my Lord and Savior, I didn't look like Yeshua. Amen. I didn't look like that. There's a process, there's a change, because guess what? I was still me. My heart's been regenerated. I've been totally changed in a new creation. But that's by faith. Now he's given me, I'm in covenant. Now he gives me the tools, the Holy Spirit. He gives me now all the tools to help me grow and become the butterfly I need to be. He gives me all the tools that I need to do to in my struggles to be able to be victorious and win these battles and not allow the enemy to mess things up. And to know that if I mess things up on my own, which we will do, that we still have the tools. Because he says in Peter, I think he said, I say these things that you don't sin, but if you do, you have an advocate with the Father. See, there's an advocate. He gives us one who's going to plead our case. That's what an advocate is a defense lawyer. Yeshua is probably the best defense lawyer there is. Amen. That day when we stand before the judgment seat, you're going to want him answering for you. There is nothing you're going to be able to say to a holy Elohim, a holy God. There's nothing you can say to him that's going to mean anything. It just said, he's got my case. Amen. And Yeshua will represent you. That's the beauty of this. Amen. This is how this change takes place. Being renewed to the knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. And then it says a renewal in which there is no distinction, and this is key, between Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free man. But in Messiah, what's that next word? It's all and in all. So this change doesn't just happen to one group of people. That promise is for everybody who calls on his name. That's the beautiful thing about Romans 11. Everybody was cut off. The Jew and the Gentile, the nation and the nations are all going to have to be, through Yeshua, grafted back into that tree. That's the beauty of this. We've been grafted in that, and I will tell you this, young people or anybody in here who do not know that Yeshua is your Lord and Savior, you need to make him your king, and you need to make him your lamb. Not just a lamb or the lamb. He needs to be our lamb. He works in these seasons. He does special times and special things in these seasons for us. I don't know how it works, but do you know what? I'm not privy to how it works. He didn't come down and just say, he says, here's the word. This is what you're to preach. You preach out of this. How certain things work, I wished I knew, but I don't know. Like Father always said, just because I told you so. But I do know this. I've experienced it, and it is the best thing in the world. But if you try to be good, if you're just going to try to be good, and it don't work. Because you know what? You can't be good enough. Because the problem is, it has to do with sin that Adam put us into this state that we're in. And because of that, we had to have a Savior. Someone who could regenerate us and bring us and renew us. So during this time of renewal, it is so very special for us. And I just want to say this in closing my little portion here. If we struggled with areas in our life, this is the day to bury that. It's time to shed that cocoon. it's time to come out. I just think about snakes. What are snakes? They go through molting. They shed their what? Every time they grow, they can't keep the same skin. But you know what? We shed our skin too. A lot of people don't know that, but I guess, but we do. But the thing about it is that nature shows us this is how our spiritual life is going to be also. But our mind, we need to renew that mind and keep growing and keep shedding that old and putting on the new, shedding the old, putting on the new. That's what this is all about. It's a process. So just know that if there's some crazy things in your life happening, there's either one or two things is happening. Either you messed up in sin and there's a judgment coming on you, repent and let's do better. Or it may be to where he's trying to get us to grow. And so he's putting a little pressure on us so that we can strengthen ourselves. Because you know what? It's usually not that trial that's usually the one. He's usually giving you a small trial so you can strengthen yourself, because there's one coming down the road. And that one coming down the road, you're going to have to be strong for. Or you're going to have to be strong for someone else to be able to get through that. That's what this is about. Because the Father knows everything, and he knows what's down the road, and we don't. Amen?
So we read in the Song of Solomon that winter is past and springtime has come. How many of you are ready for a dark, winter, gloomy time to be past in your life, right? Spiritually speaking. And what's so interesting about this being the head of the month, we're celebrating it as the head of the month, first day of the first month. And it said in Exodus 12 that they had 10 days, and then they were to select the lamb. And then they were to examine the lamb for 4 days. This is the day that kicks off the festival cycles. It is, Rosh Kodesh is a rebirth every month, but Rosh Kodesh first month is a rebirth of the whole festival cycle.
Amen.
So when you fast forward to the seventh month, on the first day of the seventh month is Yom Teruah. That's the day we're looking for the Messiah to return. And how many days do you have till you get to the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur? You have 10 days. So this is a great day to start introspection, start really receiving the rebirth. There's been several of us, we've had confirmation after confirmation, and Mark and I have talked about this several times, that this year there is a difference than whole other years. Would you agree?
Amen.
There is an understanding about rebirth, about renewal, about finally coming into. So here's kind of the concept. We can use pregnancy, we can use seed time and harvest. We can use many analogies that Yahweh has given us in the natural to pay attention to that. But it's like we've been carrying this child, nurturing this child, eating right spiritually and physically, but I'm talking spiritually speaking, eating the scroll, allowing it to have its work in our life. And we know we're going to have this baby one day to do exactly what we are called to do.
Amen.
And carrying the baby, conceiving the baby is a call. Carrying the baby is a call. Nurturing the baby in the womb is a call. So it isn't like we aren't doing our call along the way. It's just the fruition of that, I believe, is coming into play beginning this year. And so it's a great responsibility, right? We can't wait to meet our new baby. And then 2 weeks in, we're like, why don't you sleep? I'm so sleepy. I can't even tell you how many times I prayed over my babies and prayed in the spirit and just, please be at peace and sleep. Because I was tired. But we made it. We got it through. So here's the thing, that the next level, individually and corporately, that he's bringing us to is, it's coming. It's here. It's really here. So we need to be mindful, and I think that's why he's illuminating wisdom. One of the verses I was memorizing over the last few weeks, it said this, it says, he who hates me, speaking of wisdom, loves death. He who hates me, wisdom, loves death. And I'm just pondering that. I don't want to love death. We are talking about life, rebirth, renewal, So how do we get this life renewal and able to walk in the responsibility that he's given us? And that is, get his wisdom, get his understanding, get his counsel, get his Ruach Elohim, power, knowledge, and fear of Yahweh. And as we shared today, the fear of Yahweh came when he obeyed. Now I know,
amen,
that you fear me. And I think that's the illumination, the purpose for the illumination being emphasized and focused this year, because many people in this community, and I can see it in my spirit, are literally going to emerge and begin to fulfill that which they have been called to do.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's give him praise. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So when they could not, when they had to leave in haste with the bowls on their shoulders, with the dough there, what in that day, what did they need in order for their dough to become leaven? They had to have, but how did they get it? What was their mode of yeast? Sourdough? Fermentation? So they needed time, right? What did he say? Get out in haste. Get out in haste. But time is associated with Israel. So you can kind of take it to the appointed times are associated with Israel. But there is no time to waste anymore. Because of the day in which we live, there is no more time. We've got to keep our dough sinless. The word, the bread of life, the word is the dough, and we've got to keep it unadulterated. We have got Amen. To keep it sinless. And by that, don't put our stuff into it.
Amen.
We got to let its stuff come into us and eat that unleavened bread of the word. And the way we do it is we take it out in our bowls on our shoulders and get where he told us to get. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Shabbat shalom. Let's have a little audience participation here. Let's say together and say it with some gusto, spiritual gusto. Yahweh is our mighty wine. That's so good. Let's say it again. Yahweh is our mighty one. We read in Psalms 19:1, the heavens declare God's glory. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. In Isaiah 46, verse 8 through 11, we read, remember this and be assured. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things long past, for I am Elohim, and there is no other. I am Elohim, and there is no one like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things which have not been done. Saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my purpose from a far country. Truly I have spoken. Truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it. Surely I will do it. Tying in, Tammy, your last words there. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Isaiah 42:9. We know these scriptures well. These scriptures have really been put on my heart. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. Finishing up, scripture-wise, in Isaiah 43, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not see it? You know, I'm looking at this American flag here. Isn't it nice to have these two flags on the stage? I'm looking at this Israeli flag. If you know your history, the miracles that took place so that these two nations could even come into existence and could remain and be established and grow to the greatness that they have, it took many miracles for these two nations to survive. You should study that sometime in history. And what's been coming to me, the core of my short word this morning to all of us, it's been coming at me for a long time. His greatness, the greatness of our Elohim God, the greatness of the Elohim God of Israel, Yahweh, that greatness has been coming at me and coming at me. And it's been coming at me especially in regard to these two nations here and how they were established and the miracles it took for them to stay established. It's an interesting read sometimes if you want to do so. It took a type of miracle. It took the greatness of Yah. No one thought Donald Trump could be elected president. You know, I mean, it was like, you know, this man can't be elected, but he was. I wonder how that happened. It was because of the greatness of Yah. He had a purpose. He had a mission in mind for why Donald J. Trump was elected president. Bibi, I say that affectionately, Prime Minister Netanyahu, we have been blessed. These two nations, represented by these two flags that's on our stage now, we have been blessed to have two really good leaders. These two nations set the tone for the whole world in freedom and light issues. If these two nations are not standing, I will tell you unequivocally, the world is going to go in some great darkness. These two nations are holding a lot of darkness at bay. And Miss Jean, I caught your word. Get prepared. Be prepared. Great darkness is starting to come in on us as a nation, as a people, as a culture, even across the world. But guess what? Every time that happens, his light penetrates that darkness in the lives of his people. And this has been a lighthouse nation. Statue of Liberty recognizes that. This nation has been a lighthouse nation. These two nations have represented his freedom, his greatness, the great republic that he gave us. That just didn't happen. Tammy, I agree with you. There's no word in Hebrew for coincidence. I've eliminated personally the word luck out of my vocabulary. I don't even use it. There's no such thing as luck. I do believe in time and chance, but I don't believe in luck. But his greatness, the short word that I wanted to share today is his greatness. We can lean into it. We can depend upon it. We can call upon it as we prepare Miss Jean for what you shared with us. And always appreciate the word that you give. As we lean into that greatness, as we call out for it, it is there for us. But I thought about these two leaders even that we've been given in Bibi and President Trump, and I'm appreciative of it. Who does puny man think that he is, that he can defy the living Elohim Yahweh? Who is puny man? These forces of darkness, and let's always remember, as Ephesians 6 says, it's not human beings that we wrestle against. I think, Miss Jean, you brought that out. It is wicked spirits, strong demonic spirits in high places who work in flesh and blood. That's the only way they can work is through flesh and blood. And that's something to keep in mind even as we approach this beautiful season of Passover. But they are working through certain human beings today, in this nation in particular, and in Israel over there, and around the world for that matter. They think that they can thwart or stop what Yah is doing. They cannot. Puny man, who does he think he is? He cannot stymie the great God, the great Elohim, God of Israel. So darkness is starting to come in on our nation. We know our culture. But what people like Dino Dye and Bill Cloud and the association APIC that's been formed, the Pro-Israel Alliance with America Coalition, I read those scriptures. We don't always understand out of the gate what he is doing. It takes time, right? I think, Pastor Mark, you said something about that. It takes time sometimes to understand, what are we looking at here? What are we seeing? But he says, before it happens, I announce certain things to you. Just wait for it to happen. Wait for it to come about. Wait for it to be fulfilled. His purpose is always fulfilled. So that word today, that principle of greatness, his greatness. As we approach, I want to turn this from a national scale even, as I made, you know, a comment about Israel and America. He does call out nations. He does establish nations for his purpose. And he works in nations. I don't think we hear enough about that. It's been too much about the individual and being saved and all that. I think that's great. That's fine. But I don't think sometimes we talk enough about the purpose of nations that he has established to serve his purpose. And by the way, doesn't it say in the thousand-year reign that nations will have to learn his ways? Am I missing something? But I want to turn this quickly to Passover as we approach Passover season. This is an absolutely beautiful time of the year when you understand it the way he wants it understood. We have yet another opportunity, as long as we have life, to still change, to make changes. We need to be encouraged by the fact that maybe most of all his greatness lies in the fact that he is so merciful, so loving, so compassionate, and so faithful to his children. And we need to lean into that mercy and love and faithfulness and compassion as we approach Passover. We need to call out for it and claim it. It's there for us to claim. He loves us with a holy passion. The love of the Father cannot be emphasized enough. And the love of Yeshua, our Messiah, who he sent. They have a plan. They have a plan of salvation, and it's right on schedule. Not just for individuals, but for the healing of the nations. And he's going to bring that plan about. No darkness can stop it. No puny efforts of man can stop it. It's going to happen. But we're going to have to go through some dark times ahead. We know that. We realize that. But when we do that and that time comes, then we're going to lean into that greatness and call after that greatness that will sustain us and will carry us through to victory. But as we approach Passover, lean into that greatness. And maybe most of all, his greatness is displayed in his great love for us, his mercy for us, his faithfulness to us. That's something we can truly praise him for, his greatness and how good he is and how mighty he is, full power. Again, Yahweh is our mighty one.